Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for EJ. Hallelujah. Thank you, EJ. Glory to God. You know, I remember when EJ was about 10 years old. I believe he was around 10 when he accepted the Lord and was baptized in the water. And in the church we were at, they had the baptismal up on top. And the pastor asked him, "You want to say something?" And him being my son, "Yeah, I'll say something." So he's over there. He goes like, "I want to thank the Lord for saving me. And I want to serve him with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind." And the pastor's like looking at him like, "Wow, you got a little preacher here." And he's like, "Amen." And praise God that the Lord has used him. And through ups and downs, he's here and he's serving the Lord still. And if I were to go through all the testimony and the things that they've gone through, I mean, his wife, Julie, I don't know if many of you know or not, but she had cancer I think she was like 14 years old or so, blood cancer, and there was no hope. They brought in Make-A-Wish folks to come in because they figured that she was going to be a goner. But guess what? She accepted the Lord, and the Lord healed her. Not only that, but the doctor said that she probably wouldn't be able to finish school very well because of all that she's went through and all the chemo and everything. And guess what? She finished college. And the doctor said that she probably wouldn't be able to bear any children because of her condition and the cancer and the chemo and all that other stuff. Well, they gave us our first and so far our only grandson. Praise God. So God is more than wonderful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know the pastor sometimes says, like, well, when Edwin goes to preaching, it's like somebody shocked him. And it's true. I feel like a bolt of electricity just takes over me. But how can it not? When even, like, sometimes the song that Joe sings sometimes, and Naomi and all of them up here, they sing that Him being king died for me. And when I think of that, like, died for me, died for you, died for you. Who are we that he should preoccupy himself so much for? If I were to go through all the testimonies that the Lord has provided me, you know, I don't have to, nobody has to tell me that Jesus healed because these eyes have seen it firsthand. I don't have to have somebody tell me that the Lord is still rebuking and taking out and freeing people from demonic possession because these eyes have seen it. Nobody has to tell me that God won't prophesy still because I've heard it and he's used me to do it. I remember one time preaching in Austin, Texas. The church was about a membership of 2,500. There were about 1,500 when I was preaching. And I remember after I was finishing up the preaching, the message, and I was going to make the altar call, this guy gets up from the pew, all tattooed and everything, walks over to the front, you know, gangster style, comes over to the front, and the stage was high, so he was kind of like down. So he, out of the blue, I'm still finishing up my message, and out of the blue, he just interrupted me. He goes like, "Preacher, come down and pray for me." You know, one of those attitude problems. Sometimes we say Clayco. And he was, you know, and he's like, "Come down and pray for me." And I'm going, and I'm doing my message. And I say, "Oh, I sure will, brother. I'll be right there with you, and I'll be praying for you." And I kept on going, and he tells me again. And I said, "Yeah, I'm almost finished, and I'll be down there to pray for you." Well, at that moment, the two biggest ushers started coming. They go, "Okay, well, trouble probably." So they started coming onto the sides. You know, I was in my zone. I was with the Lord, and the Lord knew. So anyway, so I finished, I made the calling, I went down here, and he was going to be the first one I went to go pray for. So when I went over to him, And I, as soon as I put my hand over his head, I saw him clenching his fists and getting, like, tight. And I'm going like, oh, Lord, I guess it's on. So I just started praying for him. And all of a sudden, the Lord starts giving me things in his life. Names of people. I don't know this guy from Adam. He starts giving me all these things, and I'm telling him. And I'm talking to him, and I'm telling him about his grandmother, and I'm telling him how she was praying for him. I'm telling him how he got in trouble, and all of a sudden you started seeing his knees kind of shaking and started going down and down until he just fell on his knees and started bawling and bawling and bawling like a little baby. And after I finished praying for him, I prayed for everybody else, and I came to the altar to dismiss him, to turn it over to the pastor. He comes back up again. Okay, oh, round two. So he comes over, and he's like, this time, like the most humble, nicest voice, you know. Hey, preacher, can I give a testimony? I'm going like, sure. So I gave him the microphone. He goes, I just got out of prison yesterday. I don't know why I came here, but I passed by here yesterday, and something told me to come today. I didn't know what when I came here. And then you started preaching, and all I could feel was just an anger towards you. And as I walked to the front and you came to pray for me, I just wanted to just jump on you and start punching you. He goes, but when I clenched my fist, I couldn't move my arms. I was trying to pick them up, and I couldn't move them. And now I know that it was the Lord that delivered me. And I said, that's what the Lord does on a person that's humble, that comes to him, because he said he would not turn them away. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how many times you've done it. It doesn't matter if you come to Jesus Christ, you give your life to him, he will get rid of everything. He will cleanse you completely. He says that he will put the most, all your sins, all the things that you've done, all the past in the most profound, in the most deepest part of the ocean, never to bring them back up. Behold, here you are a new creation. I'll give you one more example, and then I'll start preaching. I was over in, I'll give you two. In Austin, Texas, again, I was in a trailer park. In the back, I was cleaning some high weeds. You know, Texas, a lot of snakes in that area. So all of a sudden, I'm going in the back, and I see this thing, like, wrapped around. I thought it was a hose. Big old thing. So when I got closer to it, I saw it lift up its head. It was a snake. Long one. And then the whole body was like the same thickness from the top, from the head all the way back. My dad later told me that that's a male snake. The female snake has this thin tail. I don't know. That's what he told me. I believed him. So all of a sudden, there's this snake, and I go, whoa, go back, a big one. I grab a big old stick, and I'm going like, get, like I'm doing like a little dog, you know, get. And the snake, guess what it does? It starts going towards me, but with like anger. So all of a sudden, here we go again, I felt like a bolt of electricity come on my body. And I just launched towards him and went, in the name of Jesus. And that snake took off, and there was a fence, and it got in between that fence so fast, it just went through it and disappeared. My dad, he's a missionary right now. He's bedridden. He was a missionary for many years. And he was over in Washington State, over in Tacoma, Washington, one time. We were living over there. He came down to visit us, and the kids were small, and he was riding bikes with them and stuff like that on the street. When all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this big old dog comes in, woo, 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 and starts grabbing on the kids towards his legs and towards my dad's leg. My dad pulls over the bike, and he goes, in the name of Jesus! And guess what that dog did? Took off running. There is nothing impossible for God. You wonder why I get so excited. You wonder why I get this bolt of electricity that the pastor talks about so much about me. I mean, he was with me, and he saw me preaching in Ecuador a lot of times, so he knows. But it's because I know that there is a God. That this is not just a story that we're talking about. This is not just a history book that we're reading. This is the Word of God, and God is real. And He is coming soon, sending His Son Jesus once again. That's what I know. That's why. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. I'm not telling you these testimonies or the witnesses just to boasters to say I'm better than you, because God can do it with you too. As a matter of fact, I think I need to get back into more prayer and fasting and reading the Word even more, because I haven't seen those kinds of things in a while. Tell you the truth. Bits and pieces, but not like before. Praise God. So he wants to do the same thing with you. And you. And I think we're living in a time where we need to rise up. I think we're living in a time where people are looking for something different. Not what's already out there in the world. They're looking for a church that really serves God. They're looking for a church, for a people of God that has the power of God. Because God himself said it, that we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. Acts 1:8. Glory to God. We can all do it too. Once we understand who God is, once we understand who are we in Christ, or who can you be if you're not in Christ, coming to Christ, and recognizing that there is an enemy, and it's not your wife, it's not your husband, it's not your children. There is an enemy out there. We need to understand all this. And we need to understand that there is something that we can do about it. To rise up as a church, a power-filled church, that when people pass by, they have to turn back around and look. So what's going on in 3 Point Bible Church? There is something different with that church. We've been praying for revival. Well, revival comes when the people of God humble themselves and seek God in spirit and in truth. When the people of God get into to his word. Praise God. Fasting is part of it. The Lord showed me early, even before I finished Bible Institute, that the three essential elements in a spiritual realm is his word, it's prayer, and fasting. Daily reading of the word. The fasting asks the Lord, Lord, when do you want me to fast? How long do you want me to fast? For what purpose do you want me to fast? And he will show you. I've done 3, I've done 1, I've done up to 10. It's you with the Lord. But the church, if you want to see power, if you want to see what God has in store for 3 Point Bible Church, it's just a matter of getting with the Lord in spirit and in truth. Let me go into my message, because Steve said that he only gave me 1 bar on my microphone, so it'll go off. Praise God. I'm going to read Philippians 4:13. A lot of folks know this verse. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Does it say some? No. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So who is God? Genesis 1 and 2 talks about that he is the creator of everything we know. I know nowadays there's a lot of news and about climate change, or used to be global warming, whatever the case may be. But people are more in tune in worshiping, in praising the creation versus the creator. If our focus goes on to worship and praise the Creator, He will give us the knowledge and the wisdom in which to fix the creation. But we stray away from that one. Here's another one, Exodus, and I'm going to be giving you a lot of text, so if you want to write them down, you can write them down, because I'm going to do a little bit of preach-teach here. Hopefully I'll stay more in the teach, but you know, my bolt of electricity goes off sometimes. Exodus 3:14. You know, and you can read the whole thing later on, but Moses asked God, who should I tell them that sent me? He said, tell them that I am sent you. Period. Exclamation point. You know, I was talking to a guy one time, not too long ago. I was eating lunch. And he was beside me eating lunch as well. And then all of a sudden he turns towards me. And he, out of the blue, he says, you know, in the Gospels, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What were their last names? I'm going like. And I looked at him, and then he's like, you know, I don't know. I don't know what they are. Could you tell me? So it's kind of like I wanted to say something, but at the same time I was eating. And another time, sometimes the best thing to say is say nothing. After I finished eating and everything, then I thought, I'm going like, you know what? I should have asked him, well, what's God's last name? When he even said, just tell him that I am sent you. End of story. Exclamation point. We don't question God. Whatever God wants to do, he does. And it kind of dawned on me. Some folks ask you things not to learn, but to see how much they know or where they can stump you. And the Lord knows all this. You know, there were names that didn't, when we're reading the scriptures, most of it is just names. One name. Sometimes it says Herod or says, you know, Pharaoh or whatever. Those sometimes weren't even their names. That was just the king or whoever was in position, they were called that. So God is I am that I am. The other thing I should have asked him, and this is in John 3:1-21. Some of you may know the story. Here's a teacher, well known, comes in the middle of the night to Jesus to ask him about heaven and everything else. He comes in the middle of the night. Basically, he's quiet. Basically, he's hiding. And sometimes even with us, we're in church. Yeah, hey, praise God. God bless you. I love you, brother. But when you're out there at your work, when you're out there at your school, when you're out there on the streets, when you're out there at the shopping center or wherever it may be, they don't even know that you're a Christian. You hide. Hopefully they won't see me. And this guy, the teacher, comes to Jesus because he didn't want to be associated during the day. Oh, he's with Jesus. So he comes and he asks him. And Jesus tells him, well, guess what? You have to be born again. And Nicodemus says, born again? How can I be being old, put myself back in my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus says, if I tell you the worldly things and you don't understand it, much less are you going to understand the heavenly things if I tell you. See, some things we won't know. Some things our minds are not capable of understanding the heavenly things unless the Lord reveals it to us. God is God. He is the great I am. John 14:16-17 says that God is the one who can be with us and within us. How does he do that? Through the Holy Spirit. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We don't hear too much preaching nowadays on the Holy Spirit, yet that's the one that is here with us. That's the one that Jesus said, I have to leave so that the counselor will come to you. The counselor will guide you to all righteousness and to all truth. The job of the Holy Spirit is to guide us so that on that special day we will be found ready to go up and meet Jesus in the air. Praise God. So who are we? Genesis 2:7. We are a special creature of God. Why do I say that? Because when you read Genesis 2:7, it tells you where God himself created us. Everything he did, he created with the word, with his word. But when it came down to us, he rolled up his sleeves and he created us out of dust and made us into a living being. We are special to God. Something that when you're involved in something, it becomes like you own part of it. It is special to you. After he did this, not only that, but he made us in his image and in his likeness. Now this is, when you come to the Lord, things happen because the Lord will give it to you. Genesis 1:28 and 2:15. He gave us a dominion over all the creation. You don't see animals being in charge of everything out in the world, do you? No, he gave it to people. We're the ones with reasoning. And frankly, we are the ones that give the Lord the biggest headache. You know, animals do what animals are supposed to do. The ocean comes up and hits a certain part of the shoreline and goes back. It doesn't come up, even though the ocean is higher than the land. And I can go on and on. The other thing is that we're not supposed to go to hell or the lake of fire. That was made for the devil and his fallen angels. So never say that God will send you there, because we send ourselves when we don't accept the sacrifice that the Lord did, that Jesus made on the cross. And how do we do this? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 10 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. It's simple, but yet so hard for so many. Once we do that and we genuinely do it and genuinely we repent of our sins, we are made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And what else? 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20. The Bible says that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Who is an ambassador? Somebody who represents their government in another country. In other words, when you come to Jesus, when you come to the Lord, and you are made a child of God, this is not our home. This is not our country. Our home, our country is up and with the Lord. We don't belong here. We're just an ambassador. We're just passing through. When we get to understand who we are, when we understand who God is, then we'll be looking more towards what we need to do to be with God. Here's another thing, who we are. Romans 8:28 says that all things work to the good for all who love God. Remember, it's not all things work to the good for everybody. It's all things work to the good for those who love God and are called for his purpose. Romans 8:28. Deuteronomy 32:30. God said that one can put to flight 1,000 and two, 10,000. You know, this reminds me of 2 Kings 6:17, where the prophet Elijah, here comes the army of Syria coming towards Elijah. And there's just, the Bible says that they were so many, it was like a locust. In other words, a lot of them. And then his servant says like, what do we do? And Elijah prayed to God and said, God, open his eyes so he can see that there are more with us than against us. And when God opened the servant's eyes, he looked and he saw thousands of angels and chariots and stuff. We're not alone. When you feel that you're alone, you're not alone. When you are with Jesus Christ, you are not alone. You have a bunch of tons of angels protecting over you. You have all the things that God has for you. So don't give up. I know that many, you know, sometimes we stumble along the way, along our Christian walk, but don't let it be the end. Stand up, get up, continue forward, because this is not of who finishes first, but this is of who finishes. Overcomers. Praise the name of the Lord. Here's another example. Judges. In the book of Judges, many know the story on here. Gideon goes to battle. 32,000 in his side. And God tells him, you got too many people. And he's like, well, there's thousands of them over there. No, you got too many people. So it dwindles down to 10,000. All right, how about now? Too many people. Too many soldiers. It dwindles down to 300, and with 300 to conquer. You see, when we are weak, then we are strong, because then it is not us, it is him through us. A lot of times we want to do things on our own, but we don't know anything. When I come to the Lord, even when I'm coming to preach, I ask the Lord, Lord, give me the message, because I don't know the people. I don't know anything. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I want to put it in English and Spanish, and I forget what I'm going to say. So be you the one that gives the word out there, because it's not us. When we try to mess with it, it gets messed up. Let God. Let go and let God. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we need to have that faith. The word says that the faith comes through hearing, and the hearing of the word of God. So if we're not daily looking at the word of God, our faith dwindles. This is our food, our spiritual food. When we don't eat physically, guess what happens to the body? It starts to deteriorate, right? Starts to get weak. Well, in the same manner, if we don't eat spiritually, our spiritual person starts to get weak. And the things that we didn't like, we start liking it. The things of the world that we shied away from when we came to the Lord, all of a sudden it starts looking good again. Because our spiritual being starts to get skinny. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, talks about putting on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. So what is an armor for? Our armor is to battle. You see, we are in a battle, a spiritual battle. It's not time to be sitting around taking it easy and figure out what is Apache going to do with this, or what is Apache going to be with that. No, it's time for the church to rise up, each and every one of us to rise up and to go out into battle. You see, the enemy knows us, and he's going to come against us because he's always battling against us. So putting on the full armor of God. Why is that? It says so that we may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. So who is our enemy? The devil, Satan. And he came to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll steal our joy, he'll kill our faith, and he'll destroy our journey in the walk with the Lord. He's coming against us as a roaring lion. He comes as a roaring lion. It says like a roaring lion. To see who he can devour. He's going to come against the church, not against the people of the world. He already has them. He's coming against the people of God like a roaring lion. Now look what says Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. Kingdom of heaven, it says that it suffers violence and the violent will take it by force. In other words, we have to get up and start battling in the spiritual realm. How? Seeking God in prayer, in his word, and fasting. Psalms 34:19 says this, many are the affliction of the righteous, but of all of them, God will keep us from them. We are going to have afflictions. Things will come against us. A lot of times we don't get out of one, and then here comes another one. And we get out of that one, and here comes another one. And we get out of that one, and another one comes. I'm going to tell you right now that if you're not having any troubles, you have to do a self-evaluation, because that means that the devil's just left you to the side. I got you, baby. I'm not going to touch you. You're mine already. But when you get out of one and you're going into another one and you're seeking God and you're praying and you're reading the Bible and you're doing what you need to do and you're still getting in out of one and going to another, out of one and going to another, just give praise to the Lord. Because God says, give thanks in everything. God knows what he's doing. Don't give the satisfaction to the enemy that he has overcome you. We're going forward to overcome. So what do? Again, pray daily. Read your Bible daily. And ask God to direct you in the fasting. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, as mentioned earlier, give thanks in everything. And when things come that are feel like it's you know, you're getting out of one and here comes another one and here comes another one, just tell the devil, hey, all I know is that me and my house will serve the Lord forever. With the word, boom. Doesn't matter. Your wife leaves you, I will serve the Lord. Your dog doesn't want you and starts biting you, I will serve the Lord. Somebody steals your car, I will serve the Lord. You lose your job, I will serve the Lord. Don't give up. Don't give up. And if you fall, get up and keep going. You know, one of the reasons of gathering together as a church is because you start sharing and it becomes contagious. You know, the little dwindling and the little fire starts to get contagious. And there is strength in numbers. How many of you have gone through by a restaurant and you figure like, oh, there's a restaurant, but every time I pass by there's hardly any cars there. I'm not going to go there. It's probably no good. It may be good, but, you know, most of the time it's not. And that's why there was no cars there hardly. But then when you pass another one, it's like, that one's always full. I got to try that one sometime. I guess it's okay. And especially if you see a policeman frequenting it a lot, they know where the good ones are. Same thing with the church. You have people passing by here all the time, and they look over to say, like, there's hardly any cars over there. I don't know. I guess this, people don't like that church. Psychologically, maybe, whatever the case may be, but it's true. How many of you have invited your neighbor to come to church? A neighbor that may not be going to another church. We're not saying steals people and bring them over here. But inviting a neighbor, inviting a family member, inviting your friends, inviting a coworker. A lot of times they're going through troubles and through tribulations and through so many things and circumstances, and they just don't want to say anything. But they pretend that everything is fine. Well, start talking to them and find out. You don't ask them directly, but in a conversation, you'll get the gist of it and bring them to church. We'll bring them up here. We'll pray. This is a praying church. Pastor Paul wants this church to be a praying church, and we know it because people always be sending prayers our way. Praise the Lord. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Long story short, if we know God, who God is, if we know ourselves in Christ Jesus, if we know and we understand that there is an enemy that is not worldly, but it is an enemy. It's a spiritual enemy called the devil, Satan. If we understand that and understand how to overcome that, we can continue forward and seeking God in spirit and in truth, and people will start to understand, and God will pour out his blessings in a mighty and special way. The Holy Spirit will come and pour down his anointing, and we'll start seeing again where people are healed right there. Where preachers will call you by name. Sometimes people are afraid of that, you know, like, whoa. Casting out demons. Maybe in another occasion, I'll ask my niece to come back, and I'll see if the pastor will allow her to give her testimony, how the Lord delivered her demon possession. Where she came over to my dad's house, and she didn't want to get out. She didn't even know my dad. But the demons were telling her not to get out, not to go. And long story short, the Lord delivered her. And so many testimonies, because God is real. I'm trying to get that. God is just awesome. He is God. If he casted out demons then, back then, he can do it today. If he healed the sick then, he can heal it today. Praise God, because he is the same yesterday and forever. We're praying for a revival. Let's get up and get going and put on the full armor of God, and let's go into battle in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus said this at one point. He said that we have to do something in remembrance of him. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask EJ to come up. He can't, and this is another thing that kind of, you know, touches me. Here's Jesus knowing that he's coming to his last days. And yet, he takes time to be with his disciples and eat. I mean, can you imagine? It's like, okay, let me just go out and eat. I know I'm heading out, you know, but I'm going to go and share some with them. Can you imagine that? Praise God.